Welcome to the Word of the Kingdom. From the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries, Pastor Banky teaches the sanctifying truth of God's Word.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, can we just quickly get into our study for this afternoon? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, the last time we were here, we've already explained what it means to be spiritual, or we talked about what it means to be natural. That's reading from chapter 2, and then what it means to be carnal or fleshly. That is, a believer is supposed to be spiritual, but when he's behaving like a normal, average person, then Paul says the person is carnal, or the person is fleshly. The person is behaving like mere men. That's the expression Paul uses to describe that. He said, you are behaving like mere men. And amongst the signs of being fleshly or being carnal are things like, one, the person, Paul gave an example here, is that if you are still jealousy and strife among you, he said that way, what's happening is that you are being fleshly and you are walking like mere men. Now, we'll start from verse 5. He said, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. He says, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth, or God who gives the increase. I like the way King James puts that. He said, now he who plants and he who waters are one, that is, they are like one another. And this is the principle. I discussed that in the exhortation last Monday. The principle is that each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And he said, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. Now, let me just start from there. A number of points I want us to bear in mind. The first one is what we discussed in the exhortation last week, so I won't spend so much time on it. And that's what he brought out in verse 8. He said, what you notice is that God rewards according to labor. God does not reward according to results. As Christians, we must understand that. And that's one thing I want us to understand from this passage, something that Paul is explaining, that believers must learn to focus on building, not, let me say like this, on their labor, not on the result. You learn to focus on your labor because God will give you an opportunity. And you must never look down on one opportunity because it appears like it's not getting the kind of result. Let me explain what I'm saying. I'm talking as a preacher now. Now, you know, there are people, as an example, they said that Enugu is a very dry place, so they want to go and plant their church in Lagos. And I see that all the time. Now, the reason is because they have looked. Maybe, I've had a man, but he didn't make that mistake. You know, he was in Kano for a long time. His friends were building churches filled with thousands of people, all right, operating budgets in millions of naira, when he was just managing to get on where he was in Kano. He said one day he prayed and said, God, what on earth did I do wrong? Like, which sin did I commit? But, of course, God is not concerned about what we are concerned about. For him, what was important is that wherever I put you, you prove to be faithful there, that my reward which I give to you is according to the opportunity that I have given you. If you find a man, we judge like human beings. You say, this man built a church, there were 10,000 people there, he blessed a lot of lives. When he gets to heaven, he has a great reward. But the fact is that it doesn't work like that. The man who God gave the opportunity to bless only one life, and he blessed that life effectively, gets his full reward. Whether you bless a million or not is absolutely besides the point. Now, this is the issue. We must therefore learn to focus on planting. He said, I planted, and you will see something about that in a moment, that each person has his own role. Paul was a planter, and Apollos was one who watered. Now, you see, Paul was functioning as an apostle here, and Apollos was functioning as a teacher. Paul's primary job was to lay a foundation where none had been laid, where Jesus Christ had not been preached. So he will tell you, I planted, and then Apollos watered. Apollos was building people up with the word of God. He said, but God was the one causing the growth. Now, I will explain something about that in just a while. Let's just read a bit further down. Now, so before we read further down, I want us to know something about verse 9. And that is the fact that he said, we are God's fellow workers, Now, referring to the church there, he said, you are God's field, God's building. Now, we must get something clear here. What Paul was saying is that the work we are doing is not our own. We are not building according to our own design. It's God's building that we are building. Please, try and follow what I'm trying to say closely. That you are supposed to contribute your part. Let me give an example. Paul, let's assume that he's a mason or something. Or let's even say that he's an electrician. Yes, to make it easier for me. All right? You don't wire the building according to what you like. You wire according to the design that was there before you were hired as an electrician. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, if you are the roofing man, you don't roof the building because it looks nice to you. There was something that the architect put in place before you came, and he will give you the opportunity to build according to his design. Therefore, it is not right for you to build things the way you like, but you must be careful to realize that you are not working in your own building, but you are working in God's building. What I'm saying, I hope is making sense. Now, this is very difficult for a lot of people to explain, understand. God can just say, all you are supposed to do is make doors, and you have no right to envy the man who's painting the house, just because they won't notice your work as much as they will notice his own. You might say your own job is to go and lay the tiles in the kitchen. Just bear in mind that it's not your house. You are faithful, you are careful to be faithful to the person who gave you the assignment. Now, you will see how these things tie together as I'm going on. Now, if you realize this, then you see the beauty about it. I talked about this extensively on Monday, so let me go by it again. It's very easy for you not to feel like you are failing. Do you follow my point? Take myself as an example. You know, how do I judge how well I'm doing? As long as I make it here every Saturday and every Monday, as long as I'm concerned, I'm doing well. Do you follow my point? I used to say that those days, I would drive all the way down, 3 hours to get down here. Who am I preaching to? Only my wife, my brother, and maybe one other person that's straight down where I fall. But that's next Saturday, I'm coming back. I am coming back. We're supposed to have meetings every Saturday. I won't say, who could do this? No, only the Gian, no, for my. I beg, forget. No. I cancel all engagements to make sure I'm here next Saturday. And if I travel, I will drive back again. Why? Because, you see, that's the opportunity I've been given. Do you follow my point? I heard a man once. He said he was praying for opportunities to go abroad to go and minister. And the opportunity opened for him somewhere in Malawi or something like that. He rejected it. What kind of thing is that? God, I said opportunity. He called that an opportunity. Then opportunity opened in France. He said, yes, praise God. I said, this man, you're not a serious person. What is the difference? Some people will give you, they spend euro and francs. I don't know whether that time you're using francs. And some people, I don't know what they spend. What did they say in my life? I have no idea. That's to show you how unimportant the currency is. And that is what is concerning you. No, Bible says that each person ministers as is given the opportunity. So it's easy to defend yourself from feeling like you are failing. Do you understand my point? When you realize that it is not your building. Now, let's read further. Paul now said, I'm still going to go back to something about Paul and Apollos. I just need to explain something. Paul said, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. Who's the another? Apollos, he was saying. But let each man be careful how he builds. Please notice the word how he builds. Let each man be careful. What did he say? Let each man be careful how he builds. That is, with God, the procedure matters. With God, the end does not justify the means. Do you understand my point? The means is what God is checking, because he said the end is what he gives. No, it's not you that decides that. That is, what God checks is the means. So he said, let each one be careful how he builds. He said, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And that was what Paul laid down. He said, now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, please get this point. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. He said, if any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward, and if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, please, I wanted to get a point here. Well, let's read verse 16 again, because everything is tying together. He said, do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, that is, by how he is building, please notice that emphasis, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and this is what you are. Now, the message here for me, the way I see it, is actually more inclined towards correcting ministers in the way they minister, rather than just a general message for the body of Christ. Now, the issue here was that the people were being divided. What is clear is that Paul planted the church, then Apollos came at a time and he began to teach. In fact, one thing you will notice, I was reading somewhere in the book of Acts, you will see that there was a time that Apollos was there, Acts chapter 19. When Paul had gone on to Ephesus, Apollos was there in Corinth and he was teaching. Now, whether it was his fault, now which personally I suspect was partly his fault, and I didn't correct them, or it was just the way the people heard him. Because you will see that he was not very experienced at that particular point in time. I hope you get my point. Because when he came and he was teaching, it was Priscilla and Aquila that took him aside and expounded. They taught him more about the principles of the gospel and then sent him ahead. He was not a very experienced person. Now, but there are a number of things I want us to note there. I said a lot, preachers should please be careful to note this. If you read in verse 10, you will see that Paul was emphasizing something, that he was laying a foundation. And if you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, let's quickly read that. Now, I was talking about the body of Christ again. If you read from verse 19, it says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household. Now, what makes you God's household? Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. All right, let me just leave it there. The point I want to bring out here is this. I said this on Saturday, talking about building on apostles and prophets. The significance of that we are built upon that which is written, not on experience. We are not built upon that which works, but that which is written. And that's why the Bible says that we are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Now, what was Paul explaining here? That he lays a foundation. And I want to just explain to something about ministry to us. That is the job of apostles. They lay foundations. This is the foundation that has been laid. Do you understand my point? That is, what most people do afterwards is to build upon that foundation. And this is the interesting part. What I want to say may surprise some people. Most churches that are churches, you know, like they were really churches. I don't mean synagogue, Church of All Nations. The church was never started as a church. You need to be blind to think this side as a church. You need to be very, very spiritually deaf to think so. Every preacher can tell you stories about himself. Has T.B. Joshua ever told you a story about himself? No, get my point. No, think about it. Think about it. They'll be able to tell you, I used to be here. I got saved there. This was the church I was going to. Tell him come out one day and mention one church he used to attend. You don't just get born again one day. We know you're the pastor of a thriving church. That's not what I'm saying. So I'm not trying to get... I'm not ashamed to say it though. You can quote me. That Pastor Bank said that he's a joker. Uh-huh. So it really doesn't matter really. There are many clowns in Lagos. You know that. There are clowns everywhere. So I'm trying to say something. If you see something about most churches that are really churches, no matter how backslidden they are, they generally have a foundation, which is Christ. They can add other things to it too. Some add saints, some add Mary, some add statues. People add all kinds. Some add all kinds of rituals, you know, either Orthodox or Pentecostals. But generally, the foundation is still what? Christ. Do you understand? Now, the problem, okay, was how people built upon it. What do you mean by people building? When people start teaching people doctrines, for example, I start teaching about how to pray, I'm building upon the foundation that is Christ. I don't know whether you are following my point. Then you start teaching people on how maybe to attend church services, you are building upon the foundation. You can teach all kinds of things about Christianity. And that's why you see that Paul's emphasis, when he was explaining, I said Apollos was primarily a teacher. And he said, I laid a foundation and anyone building upon it should be careful because you are handling God's building. How do you do God's building? It's by teaching. Now, there's something I want to say. I don't know whether this is a good time. Actually, when we finish reading one or two letters of Paul, we'll jump the rest because they tend to be saying about the same thing, okay? Let me just explain something. Quickly open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. From verse, you know what it says, ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. And then in verse 11, he said, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Can you see that? Now, what I want to bring out here is what he said about, it said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some as what? Pastors and teachers. Most people, now, do you have that one, a new book? If you read the back of the book, you will see the way I wrote that myself, actually, all right? The way I chose the words. If you have, you go and check it. I didn't use the word the founder or president. I chose the word pastor-teacher of Kingdom Word Ministries. There's a reason. Because if you see here, there are four. Most of the time, we count five ministry gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But if you look at it carefully, Paul outlined how many? Four, not five. He said he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as what? Pastors and teachers. He didn't say he gave some as pastors and some as teachers. Now, there's something there. Because a lot of us, we have this wrong concept of the biblical word pastor. These days, we look at the pastor as a head of an assembly. That's just our administrative framework in the body of Christ today. It's not centered upon what God used, what the Bible used that expression for. Do you follow my point? The person who heads an assembly is, it could be an apostle, it could be a prophet, it could be anything. Do you get my point? Just like, is the apostle is a job you do, prophet is a job you do, evangelist is a job you do, pastor, teacher is a job you do. The people that use the expression pastors for, actually, there are those who feed people with knowledge and understanding. If you read Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, you will see that. Quickly open to it also. The book of Jeremiah chapter 3, especially in the King James Bible. When he was describing there in verse 15, he said, then I will give you, he said, pastors after my heart. If you use another Bible, it will tell you shepherds after my own heart. And the job of these shepherds or pastors is to feed on what? Knowledge and understanding. Now, that's what they do. I'm going to bring out something here. That is the principle of building up the body of Christ. Let me explain something. The degree of accuracy with which you express the doctrines of God to them is what determines how solid the building will be. Do you understand what I'm going to say? And that's why Paul was warning people that, don't you understand that you are building God's building? You know, if you're a preacher, you have to be careful about that. You are not getting results. I don't know why I'm just feeling so strongly about warning believers about this result thing. You follow what I'm going to say? You know, it's not methods of getting results quickly. But the Bible says that there is an established procedure for every event under the sun. It's clear in the scriptures. There is a proper time and a proper procedure. My emphasis is on the word procedure. For example, if you are a teacher of the body of Christ, God has commissioned you therefore to build up his church, you have to be careful to give accurate doctrine, not colored by, as much as possible, personal feeling, personal opinions, or targeted teaching so as to get people to do something that you like. You know, I see this a lot. I have seen it a lot. I've been hearing this for years. Like now, if now we are going to do seminar in a way, I will now come and preach a message on how to cooperate with God to move his kingdom forward. I'm just trying to motivate you to come and cooperate with me in the seminar in a way. Now, it sounds nice and noble, but it's not right. It's not. I don't have time to explain it. It sounds nice and noble, but it's not right. The job is like using steroids for athletes. Do you follow my point? That's the way it is. It's like somebody wants to run a race, you give him amphetamine. It's not right. What you are supposed to do for the athlete is to train him over time, feed him well. Do you understand my point? You don't give him a dose of amphetamine so he can win a race. He will get caught and he will be disqualified. Now, please, that's what Paul was explaining to the Apollos here, well, indirectly, that each person has to be careful. What makes his building sure? What makes the building a thing built with gold and silver and precious stones is the accuracy of the doctrine that the people use. Let's read something in Acts chapter 13. Let's talk about this Apollos man for a while. You see the Acts chapter 18. You see that the things of God have different levels of accuracy. From verse 24. He said, now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching, notice that word, accurately the things concerning Jesus Christ within his own limitations, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. As far as the words of John was concerned, or were concerned, Apollos was accurate in his description of Jesus Christ. Therefore, most of the things that Jesus said while he was alive, he knew nothing about it. He only knew as far as the details that John taught. And you must understand something about doctrine. It has levels, and each one can carry you only to a particular level. Operating by the baptism of John, you will see the next chapter. This was in Ephesus, right? The man was in Ephesus teaching. After that, Paul came to Ephesus and said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you baptized?" He said, "We have never heard there's an Holy Spirit." Apollo just finished shaking the place. They said, we haven't heard. Eh? What did you say? Holy Spirit. Ah. Now, this Apollo. Now, do you follow the point I'm making? Now, let's go back to our chapter 18. He said, was speaking and teaching accurately things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. So up to that level, his teaching was accurate. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila, these people knew Paul very well. Paul had instructed them and taught them. They knew Paul very well. He had been with them. He had taught them things. He said, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Do you follow my point? What makes it more accurate? They will take the man to a level that he never heard about. They will begin to talk about the life of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, which if you were, you have been with Paul, you should know and you should understand. Now, this is the point I'm making. So this man, I don't know, I just have this feeling to just say this. He was a man full of zeal, but who was not very grounded yet. I'm sorry, in doctrine. It's very common. It's very common. One of the things, when I see young men who have plenty of fire in their bones, I always shake my head for them. That is like, may God bless this man, but please, try and slow down. No, you know, I say it all the time. Because sometimes, if you read, you know, there's a way he said it in Proverbs. He said, for a man to make haste with his feet, you know, he said, for a man to be without knowledge is not good. But he that makes haste with his feet runs into error. And that will be around Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. He said, also, it's not good for a person to be without knowledge. And he who makes haste with his feet errs. I like the NIV. There's a way NIV puts that, which is so nice. It said, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. You are getting what I'm saying? Sometimes people who are not very grounded in knowledge tend to have a lot of zeal, and they end up causing a lot of problems in that process. And that's partly what was, is my own estimate too, that's partly what was going on here. Now, but let's just learn our own lessons from it, and then we'll keep running. So Paul's emphasis is that this is a building. What makes a building stand? Now, let me say something quickly about if you want to kill a plant. How many people have heard of 2,4-D, tree killer, or 2,4-5-T? There are two of them. 2,4-D and 2,4-5-T. Those are the ones they use, those that I knew of. It's called tree killer. That's the name of the chemical, tree killer. You know what it does? Okay, you guessed right. It kills trees. If you want to kill a tree, you peel the back and take a brush and paint around the tree with the chemical, and the tree dies over the next few weeks. All right? It doesn't die instantly. It takes time to die. But when it dies thoroughly. One of the trees that's hard to kill is the mango tree. You know, I don't know why, but that one is quite hard to kill. That tree killer finds it very hard to kill. But generally, most trees, you peel the back around, make sure there's a small groove at the bottom, and then paint the tree killer on the exposed part of the tree, and then, you know, a bit of it will drip in that groove. After a while, it takes a few weeks, but the tree will die. You know what? Jesus looked at the tree and spoke and died overnight. Uh-huh. And then this one takes a few weeks, but it does the same thing. In the same manner as that fig tree died from the roots. All right? This one, tree killer, also kills trees from the root. You say, Pastor Bang, why are you talking about tree killer? Let me tell you, it's how it works that's the interesting part. It doesn't set out to kill trees. You know what it sets out to do? To make them grow. It stimulates growth in trees. The trees start growing so fast inside them
that they outgrow the ability of the root to absorb nutrients. So they now die of starvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that's why it's so important for believers. Let's get back to it. That we don't focus on growth. We focus on what? Doing what is right. Are you following my point? Let me tell you, if you are going to build a church, now, I said this has a lot to say to ministers. If you are building a church as a pastor or something, one thing you must not do ever, if you want the church to last, if you want to last as a person, don't ever use gimmicks. You know, they call gimmicks. There are things you can do to attract crowd. Are you getting my point? But what you are going to do is to wreck the temple of God. Because one day, trial will come. All right? Affliction will come. The day will reveal whether you have been building with gold or silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. Do you follow the point? Now, the one that grows fastest usually is the one that's built, you know, anyhow. You build it with straw. You can build a straw house overnight. You just knock this in, put straw on it, put this one there, drop everything inside, and that is it. You follow my point? You build this in overnight. But the problem is when fire will burn. Do you follow my point? But what I want to emphasize on is for the believer, for the minister of God, what is straw? What is gold? What is hay? What is silver? What is precious stones? Gold, silver, precious stones, they are sound doctrine, which you release with a clean heart. Not so as to, you know, get something there. Not so as to make, to get quick growth, get quick result, get quick profit. Not so as to manipulate people, like Paul would say. Not so as to deal deceitfully and handle the word of God, and to handle the word of God craftily. Now, the problem, in quotes, with building with gold, silver, and precious stones is that it takes time. You follow what I'm saying? People are not likely to get very excited. You are not likely, you know, to just get up one day and tomorrow, the church was 2 today, tomorrow it is 20. The day after is 400. Then one day is 10,000. You know, I'm one person that I've never, all this one of counting the biggest churches in the world. To me, it's a big, if as a serious Christian, don't ever bother. You may hear me quote it too, all right? But I'm not impressed. Hey, Young Church is part of the largest church in the world. And then you now look at it and say, man, this man is a great man. He's a great man, not saying he's not a great man. But so is a man who pastors the smallest church in Rwanda. Do you follow what I want to say? They are all great people. This one is just well known because his face is in all the newspapers. That is it. If most of us think the biggest and the most anointed ministers in the world are Americans. No, it's just that they have the largest amount of newspaper. They have the largest amount of airtime. You know, that's it. And I don't mean that to slight anybody. You know, some of the people that have blessed me the most in life, they came out of there. Either they're Americans or they were influenced there. People like Ken Hagin was an American, all right? E.W. Kenyon, and all those people, all right? But I'm just trying to explain that there are a lot of people who did things also that they are not as well known. That's what I want to emphasize there, okay? So when you say that this man is the largest church in the world, you know what I've always found out? People now go to go and learn how to build the largest church in the world. Again, I don't think it's a necessary thing. You want to go and copy? No, it's not. If you want to go and learn, because I read this series, a series of materials by Yonggi Cho. I mean, I've read many of his books, and there's this series they had in the Church Growth Seminar, which I really enjoyed, and it blessed me. Talking about, he was emphasizing on feeding people with the Word of God, and that is the key, all right, to real growth. But I've also noticed something, that he didn't lay the foundation. If you've read the story, the assemblies of God people, for decades before he came on the scene, they have been praying. They have been preaching, not just pray. They have been preaching, and they have been, you know, doing the groundwork. You know, these days, let me give you an example. If you hear a church was 50 today and tomorrow, they are 500. Go and check how many new converts are there in that 450. How many? No, think about it. Usually very few. Most of them there came, left other churches and came there. What does that tell you? Now, I'm not saying it's bad. No, please, don't say, you know, some people like to criticize. Just go and say, Pastor Banky, I say, all of you are not serious. In Jesus' name, if you repeat me, may your teeth bend. Not thinking that if, you know, in a critical mood. I'm not in a critical mood. This is just an analytical mood. Do you follow my point? And these are facts of life. I have no problem with somebody leaving one church and go to the other. If you stop getting blessed here, or you feel like your ministry has ended, move on. It's still the body of Christ. You know, it's not, just live properly. There's nothing wrong with it. So that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to bring out an issue. So you find under some circumstances, what have you noticed? It means that the person who's gathering the crowd now, they did not lay the foundation. Nothing wrong with it. other men labor and you enter into their labor. Jesus said it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So somebody like Young Joe, what did he do? If you go and read the story, you see in reality, other men labored. That is, you know what Paul said? We are all servants of God's building. We are all buildings for God. So God calls you, say, you. I want in this place, we'll gather 1 million people. You will be the church, the pastor. So it takes you step by step. Read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained that God teaches people faith. If you walk with him, he would give you the faith to do what he wants you to do. Look, what I'm saying is very clear. It's simple like that. If you walk with God, he will give you the faith that you need to do what he wants you to do. He will not, look, if you are not a pastor of 1 million, all right? If God didn't call you to preside an assembly that they are 1 million in number, like Young Icho, he won't even teach it to you at all. There are too many things in life to do. You know, I was reading, somebody forwarded to my box, that Aliko Dangote, you know how they qualified him? Reuters, you know Reuters, this is a news, international news organization. He said, Africa's most successful entrepreneur. I'm serious. That was the qualification they gave him. Just bought 45% for 45 billion naira. All right? One cement company in South Africa. Now, if a believer is going for such things, think he has time to be thinking about the faith to build a million member church. It's faith to collect a million companies. That's what we are talking about. There's a world of difference. And God raises it in each person. Go and read his book. Young Icho will teach you how God will explain to you how God taught him to start believing that there could be 10,000 in the church, up to when there could be 100,000. And then by the time I was reading the book, there were 700,000 and he was believing for 1 million. Go and read that book. You haven't read it, you're my enemy. You know, I've told you before. So better convert and be converted and be born again and become my friend. The reason is because there are things I wrote in there which I want you to know. Really. I will explain it there that God knows how to take people stage by stage. He didn't just wake Abraham up one day and say, you go and sacrifice your only son. He said, how many people are going to tell that kind of thing? They don't go here now. First, he said, okay, here you don't have one yet. I'll teach you how to get that one. Then while that one is coming, I'll be teaching you how to lose things and not be worried about them. Then one day, he taught him how to let Ishmael go. After Ishmael had gone, he said, this guy has now learned how to let his son go. Don't forget, Ishmael was his son. But at least he didn't kill Ishmael. He just let Ishmael go. That was a stage in training. Then one day, now said, okay, now go and kill this one. Now, he had taken, you know, people just want to go from ground zero, you know, level zero, and just build a skyscraper of faith overnight. But it doesn't work like that. Even God didn't create the world like that. He will do day one and go and rest. You know what I'm going to say? Day two, he will wait for the things to mature. Then day three, he will create again. Finally, on day six, he will do the last one and end everything on day seven and look and say, behold, it is good. But no, one is not good. It is not good that the man is alone. Then starts making correction again. But you know what we want to do as believers? Let there be the earth and everything that it contains and the man and all the descendants. Whoa, and it was so. God said, you say you try. Even me, I didn't do it like that. What's your problem? Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain. So you see, look, we must emphasize that in our hearts as believers. Each person is just laboring according to the opportunity that God has given him. Do you understand my point? And nobody is a superstar, actually. You are not. You'll be amazed the amount of faith some men used to bring the gospel to these shores. If you use that same faith to build church, there will be 10 billion people inside. I'm talking about the intensity of their spiritual labor. But again, God is the one that teaches each person. Now, how did I even get into all of that? I was going to explain something about believers. So, you see, you don't start learning. You rush down and say, let's go to Young Icho. How did you build a church of 1 million people? Listen, it is possible that God... Now, listen, it's not... I don't believe that if your church is not growing up, you're not doing well. It doesn't mean... I don't believe it, though. I don't. It's good to have a great vision, but learn how to decode the vision that has to do with you. And stop running after a million member church when you are 15. You follow my point? When you are 15. No. You start running little by little. Then one day you see that, come on, why can't we be 2 million? At that time, you are exercising as much faith as a man who is believing God for breakfast. Because to you, it has become that easy. Please, what I'm saying, does it make sense? Okay? So, please, this is the way it works. Now, so if you want to build a church, therefore, that is sound, that will not just scatter on your head one day, you have to be careful to build it with gold and silver. I said, what is that? In simple words, that is sound doctrine issues forth from an honest heart. Do you get my point? That is, the heart is pure. The heart is clean. No vainglory in it. Just teaching the sound word of God. Whatever comes out of that is God has given the increase. You can't, you know, people like to learn the methods of harvest rather than learning how to sow seeds. You get what I'm saying? You can go and learn how to land a plane. You know, what will it do for you? The first thing you do is to learn how to, I mean, to take the thing off from the ground before you now start learning how to land it. Most people just want the method of harvest, not the method of seed. Because the problem with seed is that, like somebody said, like Pastor Andy will say in church, that there is seed time and harvest. He said, no, read it like this. There is seed time and harvest. Do you understand my point? It is not seed time and harvest, but seed time and harvest. Is that time that's our problem? Like, no, what is that time? Why not seed and harvest? You plant time for morning, harvest time for evening. Wait. Why must that be time there? And let me add my own, in fact, I just have something to add to it now. You see, if you notice that, now we all read seed time and harvest. All right? Seed time and harvest. Pastor A reads seed time and harvest. Now I want to convert it back to seed time again. It's not that the time is added to the seed. You see, I'm converting it back again. The time is added to the seed. It's not added to the harvest. Seed time. No, seed time. That's why people don't like that principle of seed. You want the principle of harvest. Read a book on how Aliko Dangote acquired 45% for 45 billion naira. You scratch your head, say Shankman Gilito. You start reading a book on how to acquire 45% for 45 billion in a South African cement plant. You don't ask, bros, how long have you been doing businesses? You will start from that. The man will tell you that about 35 years ago, when we began, say, what did you say? No, it's true. There's one man where I grew up. I can say that the man is the richest man in that town. And the man has money, you know, plenty of it, you know, businesses all over the place. I remember those days. I remember very well. It was a talk of town. He bought a Concord Mercedes-Benz, you know, like I think it was a 280S, or a 500S. It was a talk. At least you didn't have to see the car, you heard about it. I remember that he bought it for 75,000 naira. He said, how much is it? A brand new 504 was 6,700 naira. A brand new 504 then was 6,700 naira. I know because my father just bought one then. I know very well. At that same time, the man bought one car for the price of 10 504s. We change. If you say, now 504, take the money by. If I collect change, say, yeah, give me my change. 11 self. Do you understand what I'm saying? But then, one day I was talking, and my mom was telling me a story of when they first reached that town. The man had one tipper. You carry sand from here. Do you understand my point? That's what he was operating. Tipper. One. Then I think later he had a second one. Then, now small man, relatively, all the civil servants, all our parents that were civil servants, were driving to work and going back home, you know, and sitting in the evening and crossing leg and telling stories and ordering. Then it was not online, it was from catalogs. I used to hear this, you know, catalogs arrive in your house, you order St. Michael's, and it was not yet Marks and Spencer's. St. Michael's, you order it from London, and you bring it, you wear a flowery dress, and the man was carrying sand with his truck. Years later, when SAP slowed everybody else down, the man dipped his hand in his pocket, said, I like that car. How much? 75,000. Give me one. So, no, forget what Naira sounds like today. 75,000. Like, how much be that? Then, 75,000 Naira. Okay, good. A medical doctor earns about 400 Naira a month. I remember very well. 400 bucks. After 1 month of hard labor, government will give you your salary. 400 Naira. After all, it was 75 kobo to a dollar. So what are we talking about? It was almost 1 to 1 to the pound at a time. So get the point. But what I'm going to say is that, so is that time we don't want? He said, oh, I just wanted the man of God. And he laid his hand upon me. And as I came out and I began to preach. And holy grass is what you are building. One day fire will catch. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Nobody can transfer it by anointing into your head like that if you didn't have the ability inside you from the beginning. No, forget. It doesn't work. You want to build? I said it's based on sound doctrine, accurate doctrine,
from an open heart, from a heart that is not crafty, that's not deceitful, that's not trying to take advantage of the people or just being vainglorious, getting results for the sake of results. You follow? Over the last few years, big companies collapsed in the U.S. Things like Enron, that was just the year before that, America's most innovative company. It was judged several for years before that. They would tell you, this is the company in America where if you put your money, you are getting value for money. They kept on judging. They were wearing awards everywhere. People like that made big companies like Arthur Andersen close. Because these are world-famous accounting companies doing the accounting, checking their books, and they were lying. All of them connived to... Oh, God. All flesh is grass. Grass. You know what's grass? The one that goats chew is called grass. The ones that sheep munch is called what? Grass. The one fella used to smoke is called grass. All flesh is what? Grass. That's how they made all the noise about Aaron. And then one day, it collapsed suddenly. Do you know why? Because all those companies, Aaron, Walcom, Parmalat, a lot of them scattered in US and Europe, they were just collapsing one after the other. Do you know one of the reasons? Because, and I'm afraid, I hope it doesn't happen in Nigeria. Actually, it will happen. It's when, that's the issue, all right? So just get ready. They always happen. You know why? All flesh is grass. You cannot change it because you're a Nigerian. All flesh is what? Grass. Their job was to get rid of that. You hire a CEO, all right, for a company, and his target is that, look, our share value right now is $10. We want it to be $100 over the next 2 years. And you hired him to increase the share price, forgetting that the share price is supposed to be a reflection of your productivity. What your company is worth in what it is producing and the profit is returning to the stockholders. That's what's supposed to be the reflection, all right? That's what's supposed to reflect. He said, just increase the price. The man said, no problem. Why produce anything? Go on a publicity drive. First, you buy a private jet for the CEO. Buy him one or two Rolex wristwatches. Do you understand my point? Yes, the man first has to have an image. Then he starts talking about things that are not happening. And then you tell Arthur Andersen, you know, if you say it's not happening, we'll remove the account from your company. And once Arthur Andersen says it is happening, the whole world believes it. They will sit on the computer and manufacture profits of maybe $5 billion just on the computer. And they won't pay you the money. You know what they do to the stockholders? They say, well, we'll give you, you know, stock options, new stocks, break down your stock, double your money, but the profit on paper is $5 billion. Ah, all your friends here say, my wow. That was the way you've been buying was $10. Now it's $60. All of them start rushing to buy. The price keeps climbing. And then the man, he will tell his lie. Listen, he will tell his lie. Andersen will sign it. The accounting firms were supposed to protect public interest. That's why Americans would call it certified public accountants. Nigerians would say chartered accountants. The idea is that I don't have to go to the company. I take their book and they say last year they did 50 billion naira worth of business and they made 17 billion naira in profit. I say, is it true? He said, yes, check. I say, Akintola Williams has signed it. The idea is that he has said, I have checked, and they did not lie. Except that Andersen, the leading one in the world, checked. It was a lie. They knew it was a lie. They refused to talk because if they talk, the people will stop using them. And that money, all the lie that they are getting their own share of it. I don't know why people in Andersen didn't go to jail. I don't know why they didn't go to jail. They quickly closed the company. The company vanished. Now started Accenture, Andersen Consulting. The accounting end closed. You couldn't. I don't understand. What am I trying to explain? You know, I'm using that one to bring out an issue here. Instead of people trying to build with gold, they built with what? Straw. They built that. I'm telling you last week to bring that scripture out. Instead of building with gold, what did they build with? Straw. Straw is publicity. What do we look like? Last year we paid our CEO $150 million. And everybody said, that company must be doing well. The stock kept climbing. Enron went down from about $300 and something to about 15 cents in a few days. Yes. The employees were so angry. When they would go home, they would carry chair. That is like, what can I take for all the things I've lost? They would just carry chair. You know, ordinary chair.
They will remove dog. I'm not joking, no. Out of anger. Of course, all the computers don't vanish. Everybody just pocket all the computers you can find. Why? Because men were building with what? Straw. They were building with grass. Instead of, and unfortunately, we carry such things to church also. There are not plenty in Nigeria, but I'm sure we are learning those bad habits also. But Americans do it a lot. There are companies that their job is to make your ministry look big. You know, that's why I hate celebrity pastors. Remember, I hate. I don't hate them as persons, though. But I mean the concept. Somebody's a celebrity. Satan knows how to kill people. You just gather all your friends, you gather and just say, Baba. You know what did they do to Jesus Christ? Say, in fact, you are the king. Jesus said, I come. May I go peace first? Before the coronation, shame man, feel peace. He said, yes. He said, all right, come. Everybody wait here. From the toilet, say, Peter, find me one horse. Mount the horse. Will they go where? Will they go to Damascus? Anywhere. Take me away from these people. Now, who did they go kill that they find? King Iko, King Guinea. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. There are companies that's what they do. Make you a star. So when you hear you are coming to town, then you now arrive properly. You have an entourage of jobless men in front of you. All of them wearing cheap suits. I'm serious. Oh no, them. You now be walking behind. I'll be in a convoy. I don't have the rubbish. In fact, one day I'll go and preach. And I'll go, God, please remind me to do it. Now, Okada, I will carry reach there. So that all of you know, I can ride Okada. So what? So what is it? Just for the. You know, my wife was telling me the other day about what's her name, Christy Baturi, the school that our kids attend. He said, "Know that school, of course, rich people. Her husband is also very rich, wealthy people. You know, school that you pay hundreds of thousands in children's school fees. So today they come with Prado to carry Pekin. Tomorrow you bring the child with an S class. You come and return him with the Lamborghini." all the women, when they are coming to drop Pekin for school, they will make up, wear, the best clothes. She said, okay, I know what I'll do. Now you wear bathroom slippers. And climb Okada to go to that school. She has the jeeps at home. He said, no, let me break this cycle. Just wear bathroom slippers. May I go pick my Pekin for school? Mount bike. Stop right at the gate where all the fine cars are parked. Wear your slippers. Strolling, I tie one small apart. It must not be correct at the edge, just to make a point that all of you are not serious. No, I'm serious. Because, you see, people do it. And you don't know when you get carried away with this worldly thing of building with straw, building with hay. Oh, God, let me just sit on my study, I beg, so that we don't get too carried away ourselves. All right? So, but that was what Paul was explaining. He said, each man's work will become evident because, he said, the day will show it. I don't know what that day is. But there's a day that fire will burn. When trial will come by reason of the word, one day you will preach truth and everybody will vanish. Then you realize that in reality, you are alone. I feel like telling stories. I will not mention names, sha. There's one man in Lagos. Actually, one of my friends bought a newspaper one day and saw teaching of the Bible. Hard. With nail and the cutlass and shovel, real hard teaching. Talking about the order of the church that is not right. And my friend said, this guy is right, my God. This man is liberated. He's not like the normal, popular thing these days in Christianity in Nigeria. I said, oh, boy, come, let me tell you the truth. He has learned obedience through the things that he suffered. I know his story. Let me tell you. He said, tell me, yeah. And I'm telling you too. I said, this man built one of the biggest churches in his denomination. It was a rave, you know what I mean? You know what God used to do to Paul? When there was a risk that Paul would be proud, God said, you, watch it. Every time Paul finished good ministry, powerful results, they will stone him out of the city. The work will be there, but they will drive the man who did the work out. He said, after it's God that gave the increase. Is it you? He said, no, sir. Then go now. The same Paul will now send the Timothy to come and sit down and build up the church. But let Paul come back now. They go stone him. You think, a lot of letters he wrote, it was expedient. If we show our face, there's trouble. God said, okay, finally, Paul, you know what we're going to do? We'll put you in jail. You're not going anywhere. Paul died in prison, you know that. be writing letter. Ah, Paul wrote the most beautiful letters. First epistle to Timothy, second to Timothy, all kinds of letters. Write to Philemon, write to Titus. Just be writing. When he finished writing, God said, Paul, you don't write finish. He said, yes, sir. Bring your head. Yeah, sure. They removed it. I'm serious. He said, when I was grumbling, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, in that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know what that means? With all people say, they we don't behead them now. What thing remain? He said, watch, in 2,000 years, whether 1 billion people will not wake up every day reading Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Well, let's continue our teaching, Joe. Don't let me scare anybody. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so that's what it means to build with hay, build with straw. All right, but more importantly, you build with gold, with silver, precious stones. These are things that withstand trial. These are things that withstand all the afflictions. He said, do you not know that you are a temple of God? That is, we are building not as we love, but according to prescription, that which God wants us to do. He said that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man destroys the temple of God, how would they destroy the temple of God? By wrong teachings. How do they destroy the temple of God? By telling people what is wrong, claiming that it is the word of God. Do you get my point? When you prophesy what appears right with a wrong spirit, what you are doing is that you are destroying the temple of God. That was why that young lady was following Paul and Co. around. Listen, these are men of God who are teaching us the way of God. Paul had to cast the devil out. She was saying what appeared right. Do you get my point? But was using a wrong spirit. It's very important, though. You can't justify yourself before God. After what I said is correct, God checks the motive of your heart. Do you understand my point? No, that's why if people know me well, they know. If I want to say something, I say it goes out openly. That is, let there be no confusion. Let me give you an example now. Let us assume now that we need money to do something here. This is how I do it. I've done it. If you see me do it in church before, that is the church I attend. Those of you who don't come to my church, I've done it several times. They know me. I mean, people will laugh and say, hey, Pastor B, I said, boy, that's how to live long. Let us know we need money now to do something. I won't come and start preaching. Praise God. There is a key to prosperity. When I know what I want, is give me money to do what I want to do. You know what I do? I will preach powerfully. Then when I finish, I say, praise God. Brethren, you get money for there? All right, hold on, I'll come. Then I will explain why you should give me the money. That is, plainly. And I'll tell you, simple. All of us, we do it together now. Bring the money. Do you have it? We say it openly. And like I always say, there was a day I had to raise, this was many years ago in church, I had to raise partners, that is for people who give money regularly for the maintenance of the church and running the church, expense, everything. And there was a paper everybody was supposed to fill. And they wrote at the bottom, prayer request. I said, when you get there, jump it. It's a joke. I said, this offering is not for prayer. It's for church. You get the point? I said, look at, everybody laughed that day in church. I said, you said, read the line. How many lines is it there? 3 lines. What prayer request can you write on those tiny lines? I say, if you have prayer, if you have a prayer need, later we'll discuss that. But right now, we have a money need. Let's settle the matter. That's simple. I want to live long ago. No, I'm serious. No, it's very careful. Because God judges the spirit with which you even deliver what you claim is true. Are you getting my point? Yes, he judges it. And when you are delivering that which is apparently true, but with a wrong spirit, you are injecting error into the body of Christ. You are going to cause division. You are going to cause strife. You are going to cause problems, even though you were speaking that which appeared accurate. It's very vital. If you're a preacher, I don't know, you learn more from this thing that I'm saying. Be careful. You don't go out to go and perform. You follow my point? May they never make you a performer. No, in the name of Jesus Christ, never perform for anybody. Never. Ken Hagin, go and read that his book. He blessed me so much. He's one person that taught me a lot of things about ministry. I read his materials, ate them, and the word entered into my flesh. Go and read the book. He gave gifts unto men. He will tell you, he had this section in there on the ministry of the prophet. He said, the prophets are not performers. You are not there to go and do show for everybody to clap, to be clapping for you. He said, a prophet is not a performer. That any prophet that starts performing will start dining with familiar spirits. And he will give you stories of people he happened to. Most of them, almost all of them, died for it. One of the most prominent prophets in the body of Christ in his time, God told him that in 6 years ahead, that end of 65, I will kill him. In 1959, he had a vision. He was a prophet also. He said, the prophet that stands in the forefront in the body of Christ today, end of 65, I will remove him from the body of Christ. That at the beginning of 65, you guys will look for him, you won't find him anymore. At the end of 65, the man was driving, all right? His first wife died long ago, so he had a son by that first wife. That one was a big boy, was driving in front. His father and his wife was behind. And the drunken driver crossed the road, all right? Missed the boy in front, Billy Paul, narrowly, and ran head-on into the father's car, coming behind. Killed his stepmother instantly, and the father was seriously injured. The man, listen to this, the man who was injured raised the woman who was dead from the dead before he died. William Branham Braham, don't try him. Those are anointed men. Yet God told this guy 5 years before, 6 years before that, end of 65, I'm removing him. He said, why? Because he's leading the body of Christ astray. That's why Paul said, each person must be careful how he builds. Each person must be careful how he builds. Go and listen to the message we preached in the last Saturdays. Starting from Isaiah chapter 2. He said, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Then he began to show how not walking in the light of the Lord has brought prosperity. A lot of people think that people do that are wrong. They know it is wrong, but it brings prosperity. I like one story. My pastor told once, he said that one day he saw a man, went to tell him, so, God, what you are doing is not right. That, you know, just said some things. The man said, what do you mean? It's not right. Can't you see the crowd? Can't you see the money? What do you mean it's not right? That there is proof, there is evidence. Now, I've told you. You are built on the foundation of what? Apostles and prophets. These are people who tell you what the Lord Jesus said. And those who can see what is written in heaven. That this is not according to results. It's according to what the Lord commanded and that which is recorded in heaven. Not according to results. And this man, that's all he was doing. Going around teaching when... You know why? It's funny. Because that time, teaching was in vogue. People like Enhagen were being raised. People like Gordon Lindsay were in front. Because they were teachers. You know, everything has its own season. There was time evangelists were the big thing. Evangelists would pull crowd. 1 million people in one city. The time came. It was the teachers. They were the respected people in the body of Christ. Another time came, it was those who headed assemblies, the way we call it, pastors. So everybody who wants to do ministry must have a church base. Do you get my point? I know a man, he's not around anymore, that used to tell people that you will not be respected except you have a church. Somebody told me that once. I said, am I doing this for respect? He said, no, Pastor Bank, you must have a church. I said, why? Some church is money-based. You know, like, this is where we raise money to go and do the offering. I've told God, if you won't bring money, it's not my work. Do you understand? It's according to the opportunity that you have given. We are going to worry. It's because we have money to pay for all. If we didn't have money to pay for all, we'll be postponing the worry trip. Paul said, I wanted to come to you, but I was what? Hindered. There are different kinds of hindrances. There's an acute pocketitic kind of hindrance, which we check. There's obstructive... You know, obstruction to the mouth of the pocket, not in the inside. He said, write them letter. So we are not traveling again. He said, no, we are not traveling. Why? The Spirit spoke to me that we shouldn't travel. How did the Spirit say it? I look for transport money and not see. Write letter. Timothy will say, yes, sir. I, Paul, to you, the church of Ephesus, write by the hand of my son, Paul Timothy. I'm telling you, there are different kinds of hindrances. The Lord is good. So people do things for different reasons, all right? And you have to be careful. I said that you build the body of Christ accurately, properly, by accuracy of doctrine and the accuracy of spirit. I like those two expressions. Okay, now let's go on. He said, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become foolish that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world, the same thing we are saying, if you know the worldly methods of doing things and getting results, be careful. Deliberately refuse it. He said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written... Sorry, just a joke. I heard Pastor... Not a joke. Somebody, Pastor, when you said the other day. So somebody told him that, Pastor, we have to dye this your hair. He said, for what? He said, now that you're on TV, there's a particular appearance. He looked at the person like, what? What did you say? He said, no, you have to start playing golf. What? The pastors don't play football. You play soccer, they'll go and knock you down. As a man of God, a big man of God, you start playing golf. He said that runs nonsense. No, let me tell you something. What did not bring you to where you are? Be careful when you want to use it to sustain where you are. Be very, very careful. What didn't bring you there? You must be careful. Let me tell you, some of us, we are building big businesses, you are doing this stuff like that. Listen, the determination and struggle and prayer and faith that brought you to where you are is where you take you to the higher place, not connection. Connection didn't bring you here. It won't take you there. Listen, the where connection will take you to, the one you labored and energized to get, that's the one you can't sustain. That's what's called building with straw. When the time for connection comes, let me tell you how you will know connection. Let me tell you the trick. When the big man says, call me, don't call him. Let him call. The king sent for him and loosed him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's the king that went chasing him around. When he tried connection, did it work? Please forget, don't forget me. Chief, is it butler now? Cobbera. Please, don't forget me. You know, I helped you, I interpreted the dream and it came to pass. Remember me. That's connection. Didn't work. Then when the grace upon him spoke for him and brought him before kings, the king sent for him and loosed him. You follow what I mean by looking for how to move forward. You say, you break to another level. Listen, the same way you came to this level, that is by prayer, meditation, and faith, God will give you the wisdom for the salvation to take you to the next level. Believe what I'm saying. You know what Satan tries to do? Let me just teach you some more before I will go. What Satan tries to do is literally to collect glory. You know what I mean? Collect glory. That is, say, bow to me, I will give you everything. You understand my point? And once you bow, he holds you forever. The day you want to stop bowing, he collects everything. That's the way it works. You follow my point? But what God tries to do is to free you from Satan for life. He said, bow, say, I won't bow. You will go hungry, let me die hungry. It's called not loving your life unto death. Once you have broken that, do you follow my point? After that, every Satan will disappear. When you are approaching, they say, we have heard of him. He said, do you want to come and torment us before the time? If he had bowed, do you think you'll ever hear that testimony? Do you want to come and torment us? For where? You bow, you are our own. You are servants to whom you obey. How can servants to torment the master? Oh, the Lord is good. All right, so he said, the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God, for it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. That is, God has brought all these things to serve his purpose in your life. It's God that is using them. He said, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present, or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. What I believe he was saying by all things belong to you is this. That is, there is a purpose that God wants to serve in your life, God wants to do in your life, and he will use all of them. Whether it is Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, God uses all of them to bring forth his purpose in your life. They are serving the purpose of God in your life. That's what he's saying. He said, but remember, you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. The Lord is good. All right, let me just, let's stop here. We'll continue from this 1 Corinthians chapter 4 next time.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information and for free access to more of Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, please visit us on the web at pastorbanky.com or kingdomword-ng.org.